Howell Kent, Parable, Matthew chapter 7. Therefore, everyone who hears those words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundations on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished these sayings, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law. The Constitution of the United States allows every private individual to bear arms. And of course, that has been so misused, and we hear occasionally of these horrible massacres in schools or shopping centres because people have just been running totally amok. But of course, the result of that is that most ladies, if they're on their own, would have a firearm in the house. And some of them might even say, well, just a minute, if I'm going out shopping on my own, I'll just keep a small pearl-handled revolver in my handbag, as you ladies do. And of course, there's a granny, and you've maybe heard this story before, and it's a true story. The granny who went into the supermarket, came out pushing the trolley, and goes up to her car. And she's appalled. There's four young lads in that car trying to start her car. And she gets the handbag out and she says, right, get out. Get out now. You're not taking my car. And these guys are shocked, stunned. And they get out and they run across the car park. She says, I'll serve them right. She unloads her shopping. She gets into the car. The keys don't fit. Wrong car. And suddenly she thinks, goodness me. And the police will be looking for me now. Or looking for the guys, I'd better go to the police station. So she finds her own car and she drives to the police station and she says, I'm really sorry, but I've done a silly thing. I'm afraid I tried to hijack somebody else's car. I didn't realize it. The young lads were in it. I thought they were taking my car, same color, same type, same make and everything. And he says, madam, if you just look at the far end of the charge room, and here were four lads, pale and shaking, giving their details to the officer who was there. Now, that's apparently a story. Impetuous. Get out of that car. Impetuous decision. When I was a tiny child of about 4 or 5, we used to go to Lewis's in Glasgow when I was on holiday. And I loved Lewis's. Big store. They even sold pets and all sorts of things, exotic animals. And I remember going with my dad, holding on to dad, and in this crowd. And I let go his hand for a minute and sort of looked at, oh, interesting. And then I went back and held the hand, and as I looked up, there was a strange face looking down. And I suddenly realized, where's Dad? Panic. Totally unaware, not keeping my attention. The wise builder builds. He follows the instruction of the designer. Part of that instruction is found in this book. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, in that every man may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16. The wise builder is not building on sand. He's building on something that is substantial. He's building on the word of God. He knows where he's at. He knows where the architect has instructed. There is unity in the task. He can't just do it on his own. There's a building team. There's plumbers and bricklayers. There's electricians. No rivalry. No competitiveness. They complement each other's efforts. Ephesians 4 speaks about those. We will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will all in all things grow up into him. From up to him is the who is the head, that is Christ, From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, it grows and it builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And here we have a cooperation from each person with their anointed skills serving to build the body, not doing their own thing, not overlapping, but each person under their own discipline and their own training saying, I will do my part to see this building constructed. But of course, the building is there to withstand storm. It says, in this world you will have trouble, Jesus said. Don't expect the builder to stand and it's going to be sunshine all the time. It won't be. There will be storms. And the Bible says quite clearly, you will have trouble in this world. And we have to anticipate that. That as Christians, suddenly Satan gets onto you. He stirs you up. And you've got to recognize that you have to stand against the wiles of the enemy. And where is the resource coming from this building? We know it's in Christ, but the Bible says, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, but store up treasures in heaven. Matthew 6 and 19. We are putting treasure in heaven so that we can draw down for our building project. And we are living to please the Master. We are showing the fruits of the Spirit as we work. We're not trying it hard in our own effort, but we are building for him. It says, by the grace of God, God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Christ Jesus. We are building under his instruction, under his anointing, with his resource, aware that it's important we follow his specification. The Bible is so clear that this is the guide for life. This is what we use for building, for developing our own lives. The Lord has become my fortress and my God the rock. On Christ the solid rock I stand, the rock of my salvation, Psalm 94. How about the foolish builder? Like the granny in the supermarket, impetuous. Hey, get off that car. I'm going to fix you. Suddenly impetuosity. The builder stands on the beach. It's beautiful. What a fantastic day it is. Look at the islands out there. The sea azure blue. This is the place. Lads, this is it. Get the excavator in. Well, here's the place. Great. Do it. Impetuous. Not thinking carefully. And decides to build on the sand. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Impetuous. Like granny with her pearl-handled revolver, doing the thing in an instant without careful consideration. Lack of foresight, impatient for a quick build, not following the specification, taking shortcuts. Perhaps disunity in the workforce. The joiner trying to do the plumber's work. Suddenly there's a conflict of interest. Get out of my road. I'm doing this bit. Hey, just a minute. Conflict in the workforce. How do we get peace? There's two words for peace. Irene is the Greek and shalom is the Hebrew. Both these are active words. They're not passive words. Absence of trouble is not peace. Having a long line a Saturday morning is not the peace that has been spoken about. Absence of trouble. Or alternatively, not dealing with trouble. I had a boss who once said to me, if you ever make a mistake, deal with it. Because a dimension wrong in a drawing or a calculation wrong in a drawing could have serious consequences. Deal with it. Deal with the trouble. Don't ignore it. It'll go away. It never goes away. Seeking peace with active reconciliation. The Bible's very clear. Psalm 34, 14. Seek peace and pursue it. Isaiah 26. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. The relationship to the designer. I've been reading Mary Slessor's life story some time ago, but she's a remarkable woman, born, of course, in Dundee, worked in the jute mills. And she's an amazing woman, really is. She had fearlessness, absolutely great courage. We're told here, and I'm quoting for the book, at times, Mary Slessor knew no danger. On more than one occasion, she has heroically gone into the zone of fire and stayed there until the combatants went home, for they would not fire unless she, whom they respected so much, should get hurt. Then when they had separated, she negotiated terms of peace, but by her tact and persuasiveness, by her unfailing sympathy and insight and good humor, she has frequently been a successful mediator, and for her sake, towns that hated each other have sunk their differences. Another bit, Sir Claude MacDonald at Calabar, with a government gunboat and a handful of his armed guards, were unable to dare an exhibition against the much feared and dreaded Okoyong, who were known to be relentless and dangerous in the extreme. But Mary Slessor, or they called her Ma lived amongst these people, ate what she could pick up locally. Her courage was like steel. On several occasions, she dared to attack the dreaded Igbo for frightening her children and tore the mask off the face of one of them. The others showed nice round heels as they sprang into the thick, impenetrable bush. Her courage was seen. Amazing. This woman, we've got Slessor Gardens right enough in Dundee, but I don't think people realize what a woman of steel she really was. An amazing lady. Peace requires effort. In AD 251, a plague broke out in the North African city of Carthage. People fled from the city. Get out of here. We'll catch the plague. Mr. Covid's here. Get out. It was the Christians who stayed when many of the other inhabitants had fled. They cared for the sick, buried the dead, and showed love to their enemies. We can often set the scene for a place of discussion and reconciliation by blessing those who hate us. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. Facing the storm, it is inevitable we will face adversity in the building process. When we have built on the rock, he is the rock of our salvation, and he will remain. Psalm 10:25 says, when the storm has swept by, the wicked are gone, but the righteous stand firm forever. Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. We're not building a holiday chalet, a temporary building. We are building something that has eternal value because Christ is a solid rock. It's not built by self-effort either. It's built by the treasure we put in heaven. It's built through the power and the anointing of a holy God, Jesus Christ. And sometimes we have to be shaped in that building process. Sometimes we can't just be placed easily. We can't just be part of that structure because we've got to be shaped. Unfortunately, it's called pruning. Each of us in this building have been pruned. It's not nice. You suddenly think, why me? Why has this gone the wrong way? Why did I not get that job? Why I've got a problem with so-and-so? What is the issue? And sometimes we've got to be shaped. Sometimes we've got to be pruned to fit in to the building so that that building will stand and endure. 1 Peter 2:4 says, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him. You are also like living stones. This is us being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God. Round stones are not easy to build. Three tiny points of contact. If you're building a wall, you've got to square the blocks so that they are bedded one on top of the other. The process of turning rounded into square blocks can be painful. But I have my own. No, you don't have your own. He's got your way. This is the guidebook. This is the specification. Allow yourself to be shaped because God wants the best for you. He wants you to be built or to build in to a situation where that edifice will stand and endure the storms, because storms are going to come. And that process of being rounded can be very painful, as we know. He builds us in. We are built on top of others. We are built under some above us. And what bonds us together? The Holy Spirit, the mortar of the Holy Spirit, binds us together so that we are there, blocked, squared, fitted, and set as he knows. So what's all this about? This building that has been built with wisdom, been built with care, it's part of the New Jerusalem. It's part of the bigger city. I go to prepare a place for you, the Bible says. Revelation 21, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. And then he said to John, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. This vision of the kingdom, the lowering of this tremendous city down from heaven. When I worked out the size of that city, the size of the city is 1,500 miles cubed. That's halfway across the Atlantic. It's an enormous city. The city of God, where what we have built and what we have done and what we have entrusted to him remains, and it remains forever. The best is yet to be. When you get old, as we are, you begin to think, what does the future hold? And the Bible is saying quite clearly, look, I go to prepare a place for you. You do not worry about the future. I'm in charge of the future. You do not worry what you will eat or what you will drink or what you will wear. I've got it in charge. I know what I'm doing. And I would just say that to each and every one of us. There are anxieties that naturally occur in this lifespan. And God is saying, look, you've put treasure in heaven. You are building something with your own lives. You have influence wherever you go. You may not get on a soapbox and start preaching in your place of work. The mere fact that you're there carries an aura of Jesus Christ. And if you're living a life and following that book of specification, you will know that the fruit of the Holy Spirit is growing in you. And you will just need to be present. And people will think, what makes you tick? And that is the power and the love of Jesus through you. I pray that we will all build correctly. Was that a bit short today? It was a bit short, but that's good. You'll all be very happy at that. Lord, hear us now. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Pour it down on us, Lord. Revive your body. Give us that restlessness that will go for you, Lord, and touch the lives of other people that we come in contact with. Help us, Lord, to show that aura of the fruit of the Holy Spirit growing in us, and help us to be available and approachable. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done. Be with us now, for your name's sake. Amen.